Good morning. Merry Christmas. Welcome to Harvest. We're so glad that you're here. My name is Pastor Micah. If you're visiting with us today, we're especially glad that you're here and just want to wish you a Merry Christmas. And if we can help you and serve you in any way, please let us know. And if you have a Bible with you this morning, go ahead and grab it. We're going to jump right into the scriptures today. If you didn't bring one with you today, there should be a hardback black one there somewhere on the floor around you. You can look underneath the chairs and such and find you one of those and borrow those. We'd love for you to be with us today in God's Word. And we've been in this series called First Christmas. It's our first Christmas together as a church, and we've been looking back at the first Christmas when God first gave us Christ, His Son, and all the gifts that He has given us through Jesus. And today we kind of come to the climax of the whole thing, and today we're going to talk about how Jesus gives love. And so if you've got your Bibles, go to John chapter 3. We're actually going to go to John 3:16, and some of you I know are sitting there going, okay, Micah, I don't always come to church a lot, but I know there's like special rules about Christmas, and on Christmas Eve, you've got to preach from a Christmas verse, and John 3:16, I'm pretty sure, is not a Christmas verse, so what are you trying to pull? Okay, just track with me for a second. Hopefully you'll see that while you are correct, that most of the time we don't think of John 3:16 in terms of Christmas, that by the end of this message, you'll see that it's exactly about Christmas. Okay? And John 3:16 is a fairly familiar verse. It's probably one of the greatest verses, if not the greatest verse in the Bible. It's very well known, even in popular culture. There's one really famous burger fast food chain out on the West Coast called In-N-Out Burger. Who's had In-N-Out Burger? Okay. Many would claim that these are the best burgers in the whole country, maybe the whole world. I would love to weigh in on that, but last time we were near one and I had a chance, something happened and we didn't get to go. And so I can't give you my vote yet, but we will vote later and I'll let you know definitively what it is. But anyways, this chain is owned by Christians, and if you look at the bottom of each one of their cups, there is on it John 3:16. Another example, Forever 21. I didn't know this one personally because I don't actually shop there. I'm sure you guys are glad to hear that. But some of you might, and maybe you know this. I didn't know this. Also owned by believers, and at the bottom of every one of their shopping bags, we see John 3:16. Maybe the most popular place we've seen this in somewhat recent years was college football quarterback sensation, gone pro for a little bit, when he led his team to the national championship. Tim Tebow had John 3:16 in his eye black. You remember that? Played the entire game like that. Within 24 hours of that game, 94 million people Googled that verse following that football game. 94 million people. It's a fairly familiar verse, right? Like, a lot of us know this verse. We've heard it. We kind of, and so I didn't even bother putting it on the screen this morning. We're just going to say it. Maybe some of you can say it with me. You think we can do this? Are we up for this morning? Are you awake yet? Okay. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Some of you might have begotten son in there, depending on your translation. We'll let that go too, okay? He gave his only son that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Sometimes when the verses are that familiar, we can let the familiarity lose the meaning. So today I would ask you to kind of press past that familiarness of the text and maybe let it speak afresh to your heart this morning as we see this morning that Jesus is God's love come for us. Jesus is God's love come for us. That's Christmas. And so from this verse, the first thing I want to show you this morning is the reason he gives love. The reason that God, Jesus, chooses to give love. It starts right here in the verse. For God so loved the world. I love that it starts with God, right? The almighty, all-knowing, all-powerful, eternal being, God himself. He has eternally existed in three persons. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We call that the Trinity. The three of them have eternally existed. They were before all of creation. And in that group, in that Trinity, they had perfect communion, perfect relationship, perfect love with one another. They needed nothing and no one. Things were just as they should be. If you don't understand that, how about this verse? Acts 17, 24, 25 says, "The God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything." So if God didn't need us, why did he create us? That's a big question. Right? You're like, "Micah, this is Christmas Eve. You're not supposed to be like going this deep on Christmas Eve." Right? Just bear with me. This is important. Right? He chose to create us not because he needed us. He chose to create us so that we could know him, so that we could experience his glory, so that he could share with his creation the greatness that is God. Isaiah 43, 6 and 7 says this, "I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, do not withhold. Bring my sons from afar, my daughters from the end of the earth, everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made." God created you, not because he had to, not because he needed you, because he wanted to. Because he wanted you to know him, to have a relationship with him. He, God of the universe, he made you, and he knows you, and he loves you. It says right here, "For God so loved." Right? That's the next verse, next part of the verse there. God loves because he is love. It's part of his essence. It's his being. He is the original source. He is the embodiment. He is the example of love for all of mankind. John, the same guy who wrote John 3:16, also wrote some other books. One of them is 1 John, and it says this in chapter 4, verse 8, "Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love." That's what he is. He couldn't do anything else. It's beyond him. Jeremiah 31:3 says, "I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, I have continued my faithfulness to you." Catch that word. "I have loved you with an everlasting love." A lot of times we think about everlasting as being in the future, but everlasting is also in the past. God loved us from before time began, before we were created, before anything ever happened. God loved because he is love. Now, this is not some mere affection or emotion or some, you know, that little butterfly feeling you get when you watch a sappy Hallmark movie around this time of the year. Like, let's not talk about that kind of love. You get that, right? Like, biblical love is, I'm pressing in, I'm coming close, I'm doing, it's active, it moves towards us. And God did that. 1 John chapter 4 goes on, after verse 8, verse 9 says this, "In this the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him." God loved, and so he sent his only Son to earth. That, my friends, is the Christmas story. That is the essence of why we celebrate this holiday every year. God loved us so much that he sent his Son to earth to give us his love. "For God so loved the world." The desperate, the broken, the sinful world that was in great and desperate need of his love. The world that despises and rejects its creator. The world that is lost in sin and headed for death and headed for hell. That same world that includes you and me. That's the world God loves. He doesn't just, you know, some of you are sitting there going like, Micah, I hear what you're saying. I see the words, but I don't have a concept for that. I don't know. Nobody in my life loves me. Okay, well, maybe your parents don't. Maybe your kids don't. Maybe your spouse doesn't love you. Maybe you don't have anybody, but guess what? God loves you. Even if you don't love yourself this morning, God loves you. He loves you. For God so loved the world. Not just the perfect people who always get it right. Not just the church people who come every Sunday. Not just, you know, the rich people who can give certain things back to him. Not just the people who vote for a certain political party or have a certain lifestyle. He doesn't just love certain people. He loves the world that he created with every person in it. He loves you. Have I told you that yet this morning? Have you heard that yet? There was this little boy that for Christmas really, really, really wanted a bicycle. And he had heard he goes to church with his parents, and he'd heard, you know, mom and dad talk about that, you know, that God answers prayers and Jesus answers prayers. And like, all right, like, so I'm gonna talk to Jesus about this bicycle thing, right? So he gets down beside his bed, he kind of kneels down and says, all right, dear baby Jesus, I really want a bicycle for Christmas this year, and I've been really, really good all year. And then he kind of stops. He's like, well, I can't really say that. That's not true, and that's not really going to help me with Jesus if I'm lying to him. So he's like, I'll start over. He's like, all right, dear baby Jesus, I really want a bicycle, and I've been really, really good most of the year. He's like, well, that's not true either. That's not going to help. Dear baby Jesus, I've been really good for a whole month, for a whole week. I can't lie to Jesus. This is not going to help me. So he gets up, and he gets an idea, and he runs into the living room, and he gets the little statue, Mary statue from the Nativity, family Nativity. He takes it back, and he kneels down next to his bed. He's got Mary there in his hands. He says, dear baby Jesus, I really want a bicycle this Christmas. And if you ever want to see your mother again, right? Aren't you glad Jesus doesn't work like that? Right? That he doesn't just come and love us when we're good or when we do the right things or when we blackmail him or whatever your tactic is. Jesus loves us because that is who he is. Right? Not because of what we do, not because we deserve it. It doesn't work like that. He loves us because he is love. God is love, and he loves the whole broken, sinful, desperate world, including you and including me. Jesus gives love because that is who he is. This Christmas, Jesus gives love because that is who he is. Second thing I want you to see from this verse is the way he gives love. The way Jesus gives love. It says that he gave his only son. Let's talk about God the Father here, obviously. It says that he gave. Just as I said earlier, God proved his love to us because he moved, he acted, he came towards us by giving his son. 1 John 4:10, the next verse in that sequence says, and this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us. Did you catch that? We didn't love him first. He loved us first. And he sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. That's a big $5 word. It basically just means he paid the price. Jesus paid the price for our sins. That's love. God loves us so much that he was not willing to leave us in our sin, in our brokenness. And so to rescue us, he gave us the greatest gift that has ever been given. He gave us, the verse says, his only son. Jesus God's own son was born humbly, a baby in a manger, cold on an ordinary night in Bethlehem. This is Christmas. This is the incarnation. God has become human. I want you to think about this for a second, parents. Think about this. Like, we get so protective of our kids, don't we? Johnny can't play football. He might, like, hurt something, break a bone or something, right? Now they can't go into the armed forces. They're gonna, people are going to be shooting at them. They could get hurt or killed or worse. They can't be doing that. I know you prayed about it and whatever, but like, you can't be going over on the mission field to some other country and like, I might not see you for years on end and who knows what could happen. And right? We get so protective because we're so scared that even the smallest little thing is going to happen to our children. That's good, parents. I'm okay with that. God knew full well what he was sending his son to. He knew not only was he going to be born, but then one day he was going to face the cross and die for the sins of all who would believe. And he sent him anyways. He sent his son knowing full well what was coming for him. That's love. To put your child in for that greater cause. Not because we were worthy, precisely because we weren't worthy. Right? He didn't come to die for good people. He came to die for broken, wretched sinners who needed rescued. God gave him anyways. I got a couple guys I've asked to help me with something this morning. Mark and Mitch, you guys go ahead and come on up here. So, just kind of help, kind of put some teeth on this. I got these guys who are going to help me with a little something here. Mark has been in our small group over the last couple months. So we've got to know him and Karen really well. Really blessed to have your family in our church. This is Mark. Welcome, Mark, to the stage. Come on up here, bud. Come on up here with me. Love Mark and Karen. And then this is Mitch. I've got to know Mitch from. Go on and come on up here, bud. And I got to know Mitch through our morning men's group, and him and Liz and their son, and then another one on the way. Just super blessed to have you guys here as well. And so Mark, you've got to know me a little bit from small group, right? Not to put you too much on the spot here, but do you like me, Mark?
I do.
Okay, that's good. I'm glad you said that. That's the right answer. Okay. So, and then who is this guy? Do you know this guy?
I do.
And who is this?
This is Mitchell, my son.
Oh, this is your son. Okay, so this is Mark and Mitch, his son. So is it safe to say that you like Mitch a little bit more than me? It's okay, Mark. You can say it. Yes. Yeah. Say yes. Please say yes. Okay. You're not helping me anymore. Okay. So this is your son. You love your son, obviously, yeah. Right? And your affection for him is greater than your affection for me, yeah. For sure. Yeah. Right? Absolutely. Okay, good. All right, stay right here. Don't move. All right, so Mitch, you're going to play. I want you to stand right over here on this edge. Okay. So you're going to play the innocent, blameless, perfect son of God this morning. Okay? You good with that? Can Mitch play Jesus this morning? Is that okay with you guys? Okay? All right, good. All right. Mark, you're going to play God the Father. Okay? I want you to hold on to that right there for me. Okay? I'm going to play all of us. Me and you. The guilty, wretched, broken sinners in need of rescue. Now, I think we all know and would agree that for us, a God who is just and righteous has to punish sin, right? That's the definition of being just. That's what a good just judge does. He punishes sin. And so what he should do to us is take his wrath out right here, right? What he chose to do was turn and take his wrath out right there on his son instead of on us. Are you tracking that this morning? This is why Jesus came. Thank you, guys. You may. Thank you, guys. Now, just in case we get the wrong idea and think that God is some wicked father who would be abusive to his son, it was God's choice, but it was also Jesus' choice. Jesus didn't do this against his will. Do you understand that? He chose to come for us. Let me give you some verses for that. Mark 10:45. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus chose. John 10:11 says, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Verse 18, no one takes it from me. I lay it down of my own accord. This is Jesus talking. I have the authority to lay it down. I have the authority to take it up again. And this charge I have received from my Father. The way he loves is turning and putting his wrath and the guilty payment for our sin on his son instead of on us. Jesus sacrificed himself to give you love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Jesus' way to show you the love of the Father is to sacrifice himself for you in your place, for your sin. Last thing this morning, my response to his love. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Whoever. God's love is available to everyone. Yes, everyone, even you. He loves you. It says, whoever believes in him. Now let's talk about belief for just a second. Not just belief with your head, right? Not just like understanding that it's true or thinking the statement is true, but belief with your heart, with your whole life. It's more than just saying it's true. It's putting your full trust in him that it is true and he is who he says he is, and you're trusting in him that Jesus alone can save you from your sin. That's the kind of belief we're talking about. Placing your whole life solely in his loving hands. Got a picture here. Go ahead and throw that picture up. Anybody recognize this place? Niagara Falls. Who's been to Niagara Falls? Okay. I totally want to go sometime. Haven't been yet. Just an amazing, amazing feat of God's creation right here, right? Just beautiful, magnificent, powerful. I looked it up. 6 million cubic feet of water. That's a lot of water. I don't even know how much that is, but it sounds like a lot of water. 6 million cubic feet of water goes over the crest of that fall every minute. Every minute. That's a lot of water. And that water creates a lot of power. Back in the 1800s, there was this guy, they didn't have a whole lot of entertainment back then, right? Like, they didn't have TV and internet and all that kind of jazz. And so you had to like go watch real people do real things. It was like this whole like new weird thing they did back then. But anyways, there was this guy, and he was an entertainer. He was a tightrope walker. His name was the Great Blondin. And he would go all over the world like doing tightrope stuff, like walking over. And one of the places he went was Niagara Falls. And he would walk across the falls on this tightrope. Thousands of people would come to watch him. He did it multiple times. He did it blindfolded. He did it in a sack. He did it with a wheelbarrow. He did it on stilts one time, like just all this crazy stuff. And so one time he announces to the crowd that he's going to cross the falls on the tightrope with a man on his back. And people get so excited, man. Like, they had just started coming out in droves to see this, and it's like there's going to be this huge thing. One little hiccup. He couldn't find anybody willing to get on his back, right? And so anyways, it's kind of coming up, and he's trying to find somebody. So he goes into this diner, and all these guys are sitting there, and they're talking about it. And they're like, oh, it's going to be so awesome, and blah, blah, blah. And the guy's like, oh, he can't do it. There's no way he's going to make it. And so they're kind of going back and forth, and there's this one guy, and he's just emphatic. He's like, no, he can do it. I know he can do it, and it's going to be, he's going to do it, and it's going to be awesome. And he's really encouraged, you know, by this guy's confidence in him. And so he kind of walks up and taps him on the shoulder, and he turns around to his great surprise. There's the great blonde right in front of him. He says, I'm so glad to hear you say that you're so confident in my abilities. I'm still looking for somebody to be the guy on my back. You can, like, see it, like, firsthand, like, be right there. And the guy kind of gets, like, white in the face, and he's like, No, and like runs out of the diner ride. And he eventually did find somebody. He was actually his manager. That's a lot of faith in your client, by the way. His manager got on his back and came away. But that picture right there, oh, he can do it. Yeah, he can do it. Okay, great. Come on. You can be the one on my... No. That's what we're talking about. Belief isn't saying, oh, yeah, he can do it. Belief is willing to get on the back and walk across. When it says whoever believes in Jesus, it doesn't just mean saying it. It means you putting the full weight of your life and everything you have on the back of Jesus and letting him be the one who carries you across your sin, across the brokenness, across everything that lies in front of you, that it's Jesus that you're putting your full trust in. That's belief. That whoever believes should not perish. This part of the verse gets skipped a lot. It's not the popular part. But here at Harvest, we don't skip parts of verses, do we? No. If it's in the Bible, it's important, and we cover it, and we hit it, because God put it there. And I love you too much not to tell you the whole truth. Here's the truth. That if you don't believe in Jesus, you will perish. You will die, and you will spend eternity in the torment of hell, separated from the God created you and loves you and wants to save you. But whoever believes will not perish, but have eternal life. I love that it says have. You don't have to worry. You don't have to doubt. You don't have to wonder. You don't have to guess. You can know with certainty that you will have eternal life. You will have it. It's done. When you believe in Jesus, you have it. You can be guaranteed eternity with him. He loves you. He's made a way for you this Christmas. Will you respond to his love? That's the question. Will you turn from your sin and turn to Jesus and put your full weight on him and let him be the one alone who saves you? Jesus is offering to let you live in his love forever. He's offering to let you live in his love forever. Eternity with God. As I started with, Jesus is God's love come to us. That's the Christmas story, right? That's the whole thing, that God's son was born a human. But that Christmas story is just the beginning, or actually just a part of the bigger story. The gospel story, we call it. The gospel story starts with the fact that we all are born wretched, sinners, broken, unable to fix ourselves, unable to save ourselves, and we know it full well. If we'll be honest with ourselves for even a second, we know that sin is full in our hearts. And God saw it, and he knew it, and he loved us too much to leave us there. And so he sent his son to be born a human in a little feeding trough, and then to grow and to live a life that was perfect and sinless, and to walk straight towards the cross, where he would give himself up as a sacrifice to die for the sins of all who would believe. Christ, in my place, taking my penalty. He didn't have any sin to pay for. He's paying for my sin. He was paying for your sin with his life. And then he went into the grave, and 3 days later, he rose again. And he proved that he was God, and he proved that everything he said was true, and he said, you can have everlasting life. You can have forgiveness of your sins. You can have love full and true come to me. Trust in me. And he offers that to you today. How will you respond to his love this Christmas right here? If you have never trusted in Christ, today can be the day that you do that. We always say it's as simple as ABC. Admit that you're a sinner. God, I'm messed up. I sin. I can't fix it. I want to stop. I can't stop myself. Believe that Jesus is who he says he is, that he is the Lord and the Savior of the world, and you can trust him with your life. And then confess. Confess that he is Lord and that you are giving him everything. Admit that you're a sinner, believe that Jesus is the Savior, and confess that he is your Lord. And life will be full and new, and you'll experience love that you have never had before. And you can do that today. There will never be a better day than today to trust in Jesus. Will you respond to his love today? Here in just a second, I'm going to pray. If you're here today and the Holy Spirit's speaking to you and you're saying, I need Jesus, that's what I'm looking for, that's what I need, then as I pray, all you have to do, right there in your head, just you and the Lord, just pray and tell him, I'm a sinner. I need you to save me from my sins. Please come and save me. And he will. It'll change your heart, change your life. It can be the best Christmas ever. Stand with me, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you right now. Lord, thank you for meeting with us in this place today. Lord, thank you for sending your son all those years ago to come and be perfect for us. Lord, you are a loving and a gracious God. And we need rescue this morning. Lord, speak to our hearts. Speak to the hearts of all those that are here today, Lord. Those that you're calling to yourself. Those who need to turn from their sin and trust in Jesus, Lord. Speak to them right now. Call them out. Call them up, Lord. Make them your own. Change their hearts. Lord, I'm a sinner. I need you to come and save me from my sin. I want to trust you with my whole life and follow you from this day forward. Father, please come. Fill our hearts today with the truth of the Christmas story, of the gospel story. I pray all this in the name of Jesus.